Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. I'm the mediator, Daniel Hummer, and I am here with my co-hosts. We got Eric, and we got my brother Doug, and we're really excited to bring you the Barry Horowitz interview tonight, guys. How are you all doing?
I'm good.
I'm doing pretty good.
How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to get a legend on the podcast, and we're going to have some fun talking to him about all kinds of stuff.
He'll be joining us.
Yeah, he'll be joining us in about 10-15 minutes.
In the meantime,
at least that's the plan.
So until then, we're just going to shoot the breeze. You know, we can talk about AEW, SmackDown on Fox, whatever you guys want to talk about.
So what do you think of the CM Punk rumors, Daniel?
The CM Punk rumors, I think he's just working everybody. I don't think he's ever going to show up. But anyway.
I think he's done with wrestling right now.
Yeah. Before we get too far along, you want to take care of some business?
Oh, yeah. Plugs.
The plugs?
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a show that we're very close with, the Dirt Sheet Dudes.
Yep, Dirt Sheet Dudes,
Boxman and Anthony. They do a show every Wednesday night. 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes. Then every other Saturday, they have a show called The Hollywood Hangout, same channel, Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes. So go ahead, check them out. They also, when the podcast drops, it's on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker,
Spotify,
Google, and anything else I'm missing?
No.
All right.
And let's talk Wrestling with Reality.
Oh, yeah, John of Wrestling with Reality with John. When did they come on, Eric?
He said Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Wednesday, Friday,
and all podcast platforms, right?
Yeah.
All podcast platforms there. And then, of course, there's us.
Unscripted Wrestling. We're usually live on Saturday nights. So, of course, this is a pre-recorded program that we're doing here, but we will be live on Saturday. We are recording this on Saturday. We'll be live at 8 o'clock to bring you another show.
This is happening.
Yeah. That show will be the year retrospective on the year 2001.
Very excited for that show, guys. And let's give a huge shout-out to Barry Horowitz. He'll be joining us in a little bit here. Can't wait to talk to him. It's going to be one of hopefully many interviews that we start doing on the show here. It's a great starting point. I'm excited to talk to him. I know you guys are. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And the episode tonight, you can expect a lot. We might as well plug that a little bit. We'll be talking about the Alliance storyline, Stone Cold heel turn, WCW going out of business, and all sorts of stuff. So make sure to tune into that.
One of the best WrestleManias of all time, considered by many.
Yes, sir.
WrestleMania 17. I don't know if that's number one for you, but
it definitely is.
It's number two for me. I have WrestleMania 20 as my number one.
It's about number three for me. WrestleMania 8 was always my favorite, but that one kind of sucks. So, I like horrible stuff.
Yeah. I pretty much have Mania 20 and Mania 17, 1A, 1B.
Right.
Definitely a huge year in wrestling, and I can't wait to talk about it. We'll bring up the poll when we go live during our episode for next week. We got a lot planned for next week as well. So
yeah, we got a lot planned going forward, provided, you know, we don't get canceled after tonight's interview.
And we definitely want to thank you, the listeners, keeping us going, and everyone else that supports and loves the podcast. You know, we do all this for you guys, and can't wait to keep bringing you good quality content from here on out.
Yeah.
Remember,
our followers, we have over 970, and we're getting to 1K.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful number.
I know.
I mean, and don't worry, tonight and you know, this interview here, we will bring you the same high quality program as with all of our other shows.
I can sense the sarcasm there.
Yeah. Oh, and Clint will be joining us tonight, probably about 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Our,
somewhere.
our fourth host, Kenny, can't make it tonight, so it's just going to be the three of us and Quinnith. But we'll,
possibly John, too, from Wrestling Reality.
Possibly John. Always fun having him around. We're excited to get into it, man. So let's talk about, let's shoot the breeze a little bit. What do you guys, are you excited for AEW's first show, Eric?
Yes. That's the number one thing I'm excited about only.
Okay. What match are you looking forward to most?
Cody versus
Sammy Guevara?
Yeah. Is it the main event?
I don't know. I think the sixth man's going to be the main event with Jericho and the Mystery Partners. Who do we think the Mystery Partners are going to be, Doug?
I see no reason why it's not LAX.
I can definitely see that, too. Either LAX or the Lucha Brothers. I don't.
You think there's going to be a big surprise? Since it's their first show, they want to make a big splash, especially considering going up against NXT.
They might, but I don't know what it would be.
I mean, I think they got their roster pretty much ready to go here. I think they just want to move forward with that. I mean, I can see them doing a surprise, to your point. I can definitely see that happening. But if I were them, I would say just move forward with what you got and make it the best quality show you can.
I mean, the surprise could be the same point. I mean this whole thing could be a smokescreen.
That's a lot of wishful thinking.
This whole thing could be a smokescreen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me.
Like I tried to say in our Facebook group, I would rather he join like an ROH or New Japan because I think it would mean more to wrestling than just to go somewhere for a paycheck.
Go back to ROH when he started.
I mean, the thing about it is that I don't know if the company really needs a big surprise. I mean, it probably would help. But remember, NXT really didn't have a big surprise for their debut show on USA. Except for their big thing was they had a title change. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with a title change. You know, it's just like you always want something big to start your show off with. You know, when Nitro was on, first debuted on TNT back in 1995, you know, they had Luger.
Right.
When Impact first went to Spike TV, they had the Dudleys or Team 3D. So, like, you always want to make a big splash. But I don't know necessarily if AEW needs to or not. I mean, it'll be interesting to find out. I mean, they're going up against – I mean, NXT is going to pull out all the stops. They have a show lined up for Wednesday, limited commercial interruption, three championship matches, plus Johnny Gargano is going to be on there. So they're definitely loading themselves.
Is AEW going to do the same thing? No commercial? I mean –
I don't know if they will. And I mean, you have to have commercials.
Yeah.
Because you need sponsors.
Yeah.
I can see them doing a thing where they don't have commercials during the matches.
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of people dump on about WWE.
I'm sure they have people watching the monitors and folks, though. So.
Right.
Yep. An AEW guy and a WWE guy watching both other shows. So.
I mean, the ones that know. Yeah. The Wednesday Night War is about to commence, and it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be very interesting to watch, and it's a good time right now to be a wrestling fan again. And but yeah, so you know that's going on. You got plenty of stuff to look forward to because not only next week with AEW, you know, and NXT being on the same night, but you got a premiere on Raw, you got a premiere SmackDown, or you know, Raw has their season premiere. SmackDown's going to go to Fox.
SmackDown. What do you think of that? Do you think Lesnar's going to win?
I hope not. I don't like Brock Lesnar, but I mean, if he does, I mean, it'll be good. I think that's what Fox wants. And what Fox wants, Fox is going to get because Fox is paying a lot of money right now.
Exactly.
Now, the issue is, and I'll say this, I've said this many times, I don't like the Fox network. Right? I don't think any of their programs are good. I know there's a couple of them out there that I haven't seen yet that are new that I heard are good. But Last Man Standing, the Tim Allen show, the season that
this last season, which was her first season on Fox, it sucked. Family Guy hasn't been good in 10 years. Simpsons hasn't been good in 20. And they're just, I mean, Bob's Burgers is okay. I'm going to say that it's okay because I know people that watch the show and that would probably slap the crap out of me if I dissed it. But it's, Fox, quality programming-wise, except for, you know, some of their sports games are good.
They're excellent in sports.
They're very good in sports.
That is interesting.
Okay, but, like, quality programming, they're not good at. So we'll see. I mean, we are, you know, we're heading into something here. Like, I see no reason why they wouldn't put the title on Brock Lesnar because, again, that's what Fox wants to do. But, yeah, so just a couple minutes now before we are joined by our guest. So, see, what else do we have to discuss here?
I mean, Hell in a Cell's coming up. What do we think? Seth Rollins or the Fiend Bray Wyatt? Who's taking the title?
Right.
What? They really backed themselves into a corner. Because, I mean, I don't think anybody really wants Seth as champion.
They need Bray to win. They need to win AEWs in 5 days, in 3 days, 4 days.
Well, the thing with Bray is that you need to keep Bray booked strong, especially with this Fiend character. But he should not be champion. Because really, what has he done? I mean, yeah, he beat Finn Balor at SummerSlam. But the other people he's attacked, Mick Foley, who's 50 years old, or over 50. Jerry the King Lawler, who's going to be, who's actually pushing 70. And Kurt Angle, who, you know, Kurt Angle's just about 50. All right. And, you know, Kane, another guy that's almost 50. I mean, the only legitimate people he's attacked have been Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins. And they're making Seth look weak with the whole cowering in the corner thing that they did Monday night, where he was cowering in the corner. And it's just like, he's cowering in the corner watching Bray take down Strowman with a mandible claw. If that would have been me, I would have curb stomped him right away.
Yeah.
Because he was in position. He could have hit him with the curb stomp.
Who's Kofi taking tomorrow?
You know, Hell in a Cell is next week.
What?
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Hello, sir. Introducing our guest to the podcast, the man, the myth, the legend, one of the greatest underdogs in wrestling history, former GWF light heavyweight champion, former WWF star, Mr. Barry Horowitz. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we got started. We're getting started a little early because we couldn't schedule for 45 minutes. We had to schedule for an hour. So
okay.
We're still going to go until 6 o'clock, though.
Wait a minute. Well, okay, are we live right now?
Yes.
Okay. How long is the interview?
It's going to be until 6 o'clock.
We can still just do the 45 minutes with you, and then we'll talk until about... And then we'll talk a little bit to end the show. So we're still only
okay,
going to do about 45
yeah,
minutes
till
with
six.
You.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. We just had to go on a little earlier because we couldn't schedule just 45 minutes.
Okay, yeah. I was calling you at 5 to even ask you guys to go earlier, and I was put on hold, and I hung up. Forget it. So,
How are you doing today, sir?
Doing real good, real good.
All right, so we're gonna get right into the interview here. How was it when you first started GWF? How was it going there? How was the locker room there? I would definitely like to hear about your time there.
Yeah, the Global Wrestling Federation was pretty good. It was in Dallas at the Dallas Sportatorium, iconic building. Yeah, I enjoyed my stint there. I think I was here, I don't know, about a year, maybe 2 years. Won the light heavyweight championship twice, I think, if I'm not mistaken. There was a good good guys in the locker room, good wrestlers, and always had a good crowd. And, yeah, it was very interesting there. It was awesome, actually.
Now, who exactly contacted you about going to the GWF, Barry?
Actually, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Bill Eady.
Bill Eady. The former Demolition X.
You got it.
So when you went there, he was still the booker?
No, actually, no. He was just, he got me. He wasn't, he may have been, but he was never there.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard that he was, I heard that he was the booker, and then he left and Eddie Gilbert took over.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 So,
mm-hmm.
Now, one of my earliest memories of you is, of course, in the GWF, and it was your matches with Jerry Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very young Jerry Lynn. How was Jerry to work with even back then?
Jerry Lynn's fantastic. Great athlete. Most guys from Minnesota are flawless in my eyes. I've got a lot of friends from there, and a lot of great talent has come from Minneapolis. Jerry's just a good guy, period, and a good athlete and a very good wrestler. I mean, excellent babyface, and yeah, I have no I loved wrestling Jerry. He's a good guy.
Another person that you worked with in the GWF, as a matter of fact, I think you guys were actually aligned for a little while, was Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. How was Eddie not only in the ring, but also as a booker?
Let's see. I know Eddie a long time. I mean, great guy and stuff, but in the Global Wrestling Federation, I don't know, something happened with Eddie. I don't know. I started not getting along with him. His booking was cartoonish a little bit. You know, sometimes that Tennessee cartoonish things. And, I mean, he came up with some pretty good ideas. Towards the end, I started not getting along with him. That was about it. Nothing really bad, but, and I get along almost with everybody, but yeah, I think it would have been better off with somebody else or Bill Eady or what have you. I mean, he did all right, but I don't know. I wasn't real pleased.
Now, you were nicknamed the winner in the GWF,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
Now, was that your idea, or did somebody come up with that? Like, did you have
somebody came
a
up
lot
with
of,
that?
Yeah. Who was it?
That I don't know. I think it possibly was Eddie Gilbert or one of the announcers, Craig. Trying to think, I forgot their names. I hate to do that because they're both
Johnson?
Scott Hudson and Greg. I forgot his last name.
Johnson.
What is
yeah,
it?
Craig Johnson, I think was it. I think his name was, his real name is John Horton, but his announcing name was Craig Johnson.
Right, yeah. Those guys were excellent announcers, really good. I'm surprised they don't have a job somewhere. I mean, they were very good. I liked them. They were very good announcers.
Yeah, I would definitely say Scott Hudson is one of the more underrated commentators of all time.
Sure, definitely. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Barry. So who was your favorite wrestler to wrestle with?
I'm sorry?
Who was your favorite wrestler to work with?
Who was my favorite wrestler to work with? Wow.
Yeah,
I don't have one person. I've got numerous. I mean, I had a lot of favorites. Probably I like Jerry Lynn and Ben Jordan, Sam Houston, Tim Horner, Brad and Scott Armstrong, Reno Riggins. Owen Hart is way up there. Wow, Brady Boone. Geez. Oh, of course, Skip, a.k.a. Chris Candido. So I did like wrestling with the Young Bloods also, Mark and Jay. They were really good. And, yeah, that's a big handful. But I think I probably left a few people out, not on purpose. But, Yeah, I liked working with those guys.
Yeah, one of the main things I wanted to ask you, sir, was the whole storyline and going up to SummerSlam 95. A lot of people, you're very known for that, and that's when I really became a fan and watching that stuff. For you, was it just another day in the office, or did you know this was something big?
No. I mean, part of it was another day in the office. The other part was I finally got a push, and this is big. This is huge, and I don't know how far it's going to go, but I'm going to ride it until I drive it to the – till I kill it.
Oh, you definitely knocked that one out of the park, sir. But
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. And I was wondering, because you mentioned Skip, and that's definitely something I wanted to get into. Was he very supportive of this whole thing with you, or?
Yes. Yes, he was. There was rumors that he wasn't, but that's wrestling gossip, and that's basically, you know, shit disturbing. I don't know if I can cuss on the radio, but I just did.
Oh, you're fine. Hey.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was just instigating and, you know, the old saying, telephone, telegraph, telewrestler, basically shit disturbing and stirring up the pot. Probably Chris never said that because he's a ultimate perfectionist and gentleman and professional, and I got nothing but great praise for him.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, and we're kind of backtracking a little bit here, but that's kind of what we do on this show. When you first broke into the business, you were trained by Boris Malenko, correct?
That is correct.
All right. How was Boris as a trainer? Because you really don't hear a lot about Boris Boris's training. You hear more about, you know, Stu Hart being a great trainer, the Funks being great trainers. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a lot about Boris, but how was Boris as a trainer?
Well, I'll probably be biased, but I'm glad I met him and was introduced to him because I'm seeing the way guys get broken in 10 years ago, 20 years ago now. Nothing against certain trainers. I mean, some trainers need to be trained. That's not good. Mm-hmm. Boris Malenko is the consummate professional, a main eventer. He's been around. He's a businessman. But the way he taught, I mean, I trained for a year and a half. And not because I didn't get it. Is because this is the way – you don't train for 2 or 3 months and you're a pro wrestler. You don't do that in the NFL. You don't do that in soccer. You don't do that in baseball, NBA. I mean – you know, come on, this is professional sports, you know, sports entertainment at that, but still. And the way he trained us, it was incredible. I mean, A to Z, I mean, just to, how to enter a ring, how to climb the ring post, how to holds and submissions and just the psychology. He built, if you had a house, he built my foundation. The rest of the rooms, the bathrooms, the top bedrooms, the attic and stuff, that's what's called getting polished. How do you get polished? You travel. You travel for, in North Carolina, Crockett Promotions, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, for 2 years, 6 nights a week, sitting in the car with likes of Jay Youngblood, Ricky Steamboat, Rufus R. Jones, Jimmy Valiant, Johnny Weaver, Greg Valentine, Ric Flair, Bob Orton Jr., and you listen, and you listen, and you listen, and you watch every match to the end. Then you take your shower, and then you get in the car with people like Sonny Fargo and who used to be a referee and also a former wrestler. And that's how you get polished.
Right.
So the rest of me, that's what happened. And that's what, so really the cards went well for me landing the foundation with Malenko and then getting polished in North Carolina is working for Jim Crockett Promotions.
Right. Now, when you were training under Boris, did you get to spend a lot of time with Dean?
I spent time with everybody. Actually, it was Boris, Dean, and Jody, the two sons of Malenko's, and we all trained together. Okay. So, yeah. Also, I forgot, time to time, maybe once a week or every other week, Carl von Stronheim, and every couple of months, the great, late Carl Gotch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about was you spent some time in Memphis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you hear a lot of times from a lot of guys, you know, about, you know, Jerry Jarrett, and it wasn't a great place to work. You didn't make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But okay. how was Jerry Jarrett to you mm-hmm. as a boss?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad you asked that. Great question. Number one, I only stayed there 6 or 7 months. I was treated very well. I was working in semi-main events, main events, in the middle of the card. This is what I'm going to say about Mid-South and Jarrett Promotions. The one I respected the most and treated me the best, and that whole crew, was Jerry Jarrett. He's an ultimate professional. He treated me fantastic, and he also was an agent in WWF back in the day, which I wish he stayed there because he was really good. Jerry Jarrett is very underrated. He's a smart man. He knows a lot about wrestling, storylines, and what have you. I don't know him as a wrestler. I just know him as business, and he treated me good, and he was very polite to me. I have nothing against Jerry Jarrett, except I wish he was still an agent with the WWF. I think he's awesome.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've heard like so many stories about him, but it's good to finally hear somebody say something. It's good to finally hear somebody say something positive about him.
I mean, I didn't make a ton of money there, but I did all right, and the traveling wasn't that bad, but it's still paying your dues, and you're still wrestling, and you're still honing your craft. So, and again, I was only there 6 or 7 months until the WWF crew found out where I was, and they said, you know, basically, you want to come home.
Right.
And so when you're in the WWF, right, and you're getting this big push, and even mm-hmm. before that, to me, you're still kind of a veteran at that point, right? You know, you've been in the business, you paid your dues. I was mm-hmm. wondering, did any of the mid-card or top guys like a Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels or any of them, did they ever come to you for advice? Because I feel like you would be a great brain to pick.
No. No. Maybe some guys did, but I don't remember of too many. You got to understand there's a lot of egos in the dressing room. And yeah, you know, when they come to you is when they're retired and they're away from the business, they're not under contract, nobody's around to tell on them or whatever, then all of a sudden you find the real people, the real persons in these people. And then some you don't. They just, some of these guys don't grow up.
I wasn't working with Hogan or in the locker room.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you.
How was Hogan in the locker room?
How was Hogan in the locker room? Excellent. Really cool. I've always got along with Hogan. Yeah, great. I mean, I was in the airport one time at 6 a.m. He's half awake, and we're catching a flight, and he's signing autographs, and people are bombarding him, and he was the ultimate professional. Excellent in the locker room. Yeah. Didn't act like a superstar. None of that shit.
Well,
the other guys did, but he didn't.
And you were really around still during the Monday Night Wars, and we always hear about mm-hmm. the differing locker rooms, and you were definitely around in WCW, and mm-hmm. you went over there. Did you have a preference to each locker room? Did you really see a difference? And if so, which one did you really prefer between WCW and WWF?
I don't know. They're both good. There was less ribbing in the WCW locker room. Now I think ribs are getting big trouble now. I mean, I've never believed in any of that. You know, you do that in college and high school, but come on, guys, we're professionals here. You could joke around, but some of the stuff is unclassy, and you wonder why some people look at us like carnies or backyard wrestlers. Well, you know, when you act that way, you're going to be that way. So I'm not a fan of people like that. It's trouble. I take my matches serious. I almost try to treat them like a shoot, you know. In the great, you know, great words of Bob Backlund, he's always told me, you know, it's good to be a little bit nervous, but you don't want to be over nervous and you don't want to be under nervous. You want to be right in the middle. And to keep it right in the middle, you really got to think about your life, your matches, your training. You know, you got to put all the people that put it's almost like great coaches train great athletes. You see what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Wake up, guys!
Yes.
So, oh my God! Okay, listen to me. How many guys are sitting there?
Three
of us.
Three. Is there a delay? Because I feel like I'm talking to somebody in Tokyo.
No, there's not.
No delay. We're just trying to give you your time. I mean, you deserve it. You're a legend.
Well, I appreciate
it. So
I just didn't want you to fall asleep during the interview.
No,
not at all.
Not at all. We're just absorbing the words. Now, when you go ahead, Barry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, as we're speaking right now, we are live. People are listening.
Well, no, this is like we're live. We're talking right now, but this is actually a pre-recorded interview.
That's what I wanted to know. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
When you went to WCW, which I believe was in late 97, right?
Yes, you're right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Who contacted you about going to WCW?
I contacted Terry Taylor.
Okay. And because it was like, because it seemed like around that time, because they had so much television they had to do, it seemed like there was almost 100 guys, I think, on the roster at that point. When you got there, were you expecting like a big push, or did you like what were your expectations going into WCW?
I didn't really know. I mean, I cared, but all I cared about is that, you know, I signed a contract and I'm working with them and I'm happy and I'm getting plenty of TV time. I mean, I'm on Monday Night Nitros and I'm on Thunders. And I'm at Halloween Havoc, and I'm at pay-per-view. So I'm very happy, and the crew is pretty good. And the traveling – actually, I traveled less and made more money there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's definitely the stories we hear about there. But it was interesting you saying there was a lot less ribbing in WCW, because the locker room there and basically the politics and all the egos, it really gets dumped on WCW. So it's weird to hear that other perspective, and everyone was pretty much professional over there? Or?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, there was a couple things, but nothing. That's just normal stuff. Some of the ribs and stuff in the locker room in WWF were a bit much. And I don't put over ribs. That's just the way I was taught in the wrestling business. It's almost like you're in school and you tell on the bully and stuff. It's not that you're backing down. It's just that you're making it look like you can get the best of me. Now, if somebody actually touched me in the locker room, win, lose, or draw, I mean, I'm going to fight. So whatever. I mean, I have to. I just, it's not that I'm labeled as a tough guy. I'm not labeled as a barbarian or Tonga. Haku or nails or anything like that. But if I have to take care of myself, I'll do the best I can. But, you know, I'm not going to be bullied and stuff. And, you know, plus you got to see the pecking order. I could picture me going off on somebody and stretching somebody or beating somebody. I'm going to get fired.
Right.
Unless
you're
somebody way up there on the card, and then they'll work around it. That's the politics of the business. That's the politics of life. And as far as football and baseball and Hollywood, we just don't know about it. I know about it because I'm behind that closed door. You guys aren't, but I am.
Right. And we definitely hear about like a Shawn Michaels back in the day getting to do whatever he wants, and Vince kind of letting it happen because he was Shawn Michaels, you know?
Yeah. I got nothing against Sean. I like Sean. I've had good matches with him. He respected me and stuff. So I've heard different things, and, you know, I don't care. As long as it doesn't involve me. I mean, if you want to, you know, what have you with these things, I don't have time for that. I got to take care of myself.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Now, how did you want to become a wrestler? How did that go? Come about.
Oh, that's a great question too. I guess I was about 15 years old in St. Petersburg, Florida, where I'm from. Graduated school and went to school there and so forth and lived my whole life there. And my parents and I were moving into a different house. And at the time, we were just moving furniture around and, you know, you're moving stuff around. And you know how when you first move in, you just got to, you don't have everything put up. And so we didn't have the table unpacked or nothing. So you just take a TV set and put it on top of a box and we're watching. And there was a channel called WTOG Channel 44. I think they've changed it now to something else. But Championship Wrestling from Florida came on with Gordon Solie every Saturday, 7 o'clock. This was big. This was huge. Anybody who's anybody in pro wrestling has been to Championship Wrestling and had their match critiqued by the likes of Gordon Solie and Coach John Heath, and of course the late, great Booker Eddie Graham and his son Mike Graham. And I saw a match between Thunderbolt Patterson and Mr. Clean. And I looked at that match. Now, you've heard this a lot, but I go, that's what I'm going to do. Now, you know a lot of kids. Oh, I'm going to be a race car driver. I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be Tom Cruise. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. But, you know, it's pipe dreams. From that moment from that moment on, my engine, my drive was in drive. So that's why I went to the youth center, the Northwest Youth Center, which is still there in St. Pete. And I wrestled there, wrestling lessons for free. I wrestled on their team a little bit. I wrestled through junior high, high school, and college. And I wanted to be a pro. And I pursued. And it was hard back in those days because, you know, you just don't walk around and say, hey, I want to be a pro wrestler and go to some of these gyms that pro wrestler. You get your ass beat. You get your leg broken by the likes of Bob Roop or Bob Orton Jr. or Steve Kern or Matsuda or whatever. I'm not knocking these guys. I'm just saying it was a secretive thing. Now it's a different story, you know. Everybody knows about pro wrestling, you know, between the internet and people talking and, you know, you can't do no harm. Everybody knows it's sports entertainment. Everybody knows that.
And,
but they accept it.
It's very accepted nowadays. And you were kind of talking about your amateur wrestling background, which I have one as well. And a lot of the amateur guys, you hear them, and it's kind of a hard adjustment for them going from, you know, amateur wrestling is very, you know, competitive and you want to win. And then you go into it kind of being a work, right? Was that a hard adjustment for you to make or?
No, because this is what some guys need to learn. There's a lot of amateur guys. I never told anybody in the locker room I was an amateur wrestler. Granted now, I wasn't like the likes of Scott and Rick Steiner, okay? I was the likes of, you know, like a Brian Blair, Bob Backlund. I wasn't the likes of Jack Briscoe, AAU champion, NCAA champion. Brock Lesnar has probably did everything. Yeah. But the man, and I emphasize the man, I don't mean Becky Lynch, the real man, the real man is Kurt Angle. And I'm going to tell you why. He's captured everything. But how many guys that you know that are American that could say they're an Olympic gold medalist and I won this with a broken neck? And I adapted to pro wrestling overnight. His promos, his look, his work. Kurt Angle is flawless in my eyes. Never met him. I highly commend him for his contribution in the wrestling business. Smart guy. He fought his demons. I don't know. I never hung out with him or anything, but he's the total package. Right. And I mean, just when you think you're an AAU champion, NCAA, this, and that, go against an Olympic gold medalist and see what happens. And if you're worried about your win-loss record, okay, when you said that, did I worry about that? No, because we're in the land of make-believe. If you're really worried about that and you got a problem with that, go sign up and ask Dana White you want to be a UFC fighter and get your ass stretched and beat in 30 seconds. Then you'll calm down.
Now,
CM Punk.
oh, boy. Very true.
Now, another question I want to ask, like, what wrestlers did you look up to growing up?
Jack Briscoe, Bob Orton Jr., Don Morocco. Wow. Yeah, Jack Briscoe, Mike Graham, Bob Orton Jr., Don Morocco was my high list there. There was others. Just trying to think. There was others. I just, you know, Bob Backlund. I'm sure there's others, but that was my, you know, my top five. And by the way, that comment about CM Punk, nothing against him. I don't mean that in a malicious way. I'm just saying, you know, you think you could do this? It's a whole different ball game. The only one that proved himself right is Brock Lesnar. I mean, there's number two under Kurt. I mean, he's a UFC world heavyweight champion, and he's the world heavyweight champion of the WWE. I mean, that's a big accomplishment, and, you know, he's getting older now, too, and, you know, you got to give the man props.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Definitely deserve it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the UFC guys were teasing him and saying, you know, you can't walk in here. I remember Frank Mir was talking all the smack in the world, and then Brock hit him, and that all went away.
Mm-hmm. But Brock hit him with one of those lunch boxes to the face and knocked him out.
Now, we talk about UFC guys. I want to ask you about a match you had, I think it was about 89, with a guy that became famous in the UFC, Ken Shamrock. Now, this was back in 89. This was before Shamrock became a UFC fighter.
Exactly.
When he first tried to be in pro wrestling. What are your memories of that particular match?
It's awesome. First of all, it was in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was a house show, not TV. Jack Lanza, an agent, Black Jack Lanza, you remember him back in the day when he was Black Jack Mulligan were the Blackjacks, if I'm not mistaken. And he was an agent for Vince, and he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, we got this guy, we're gonna try out. You know, throw him around the ring a little bit. You know, you feel him out, he'll feel you out. We want to just take a look at him." I said, okay. I met him. He didn't use the name Ken Shamrock. If I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this. It was something like Vince Tortello. And I said, hey,
Vince
nice
Tortello?
To meet you and everything. And I think so. I'm pretty sure. But it wasn't Ken Shamrock. I'm positive of that. And he looked good. Okay. Nice guy. Polite. Never saw him again. I guess they didn't take him then. And then, you know, he became famous and he did well. And I think they brought him back in 94 or 95 and he was the IC champion. And he did well. He did pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a highly respected Hall of Famer in the UFC. I mean, I respect his training. I respect his brother, Frank Shamrock. I respect his work ethic. And he was a decent pro wrestler. I mean, Vince thought enough of him, you know, he's the Intercontinental Champion, so, you know, his promos were good. I liked the, you know, the gimmick, the most dangerous man in the world. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, I got a lot, you know, yeah, I like Ken Shamrock a lot.
Yeah, he definitely deserves a lot of respect for adjusting, because that's like what we were saying earlier, kind of going from such a shoot fight from the UFC to becoming a worker. And
now, remember that night. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. It was, and that's why I kind of wanted to get your opinion on, like, Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor has talked about it. Do you kind of encourage people from that side to get into the business, or?
I don't know. It all depends on them. I mean, if you're making that kind of ton of money, you know, at UFC, maybe stay there or maybe get. Ronda did it pretty good, like 10-year run. Probably a multimillionaire, and then, you know, works with Vince and become another millionaire. I think it's pretty good because of her age. I mean, she was probably in her 20s, then left there in her 30s. And yeah, she actually made a great business move. If you think about it.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the state of wrestling today?
Wow, it's pretty good. They've really, you know, when you watch WWE, I mean, come on, you flip the channel and it's not like it used to be even when I was there. You flip that channel on, it's like watching anything else. It's like watching Fox football on Sunday or Monday Night Football or the Emmys or the Oscars. There's no difference in my eyes. Look at that production. It's incredible.
Oh,
it's insane. It's flamboyant.
Yeah,
it's up there. I mean, you're having superstars. You're having movie stars, you know, using punchlines for, hey, what did you want me to do? Give you a WWE super power slam or something? We're used in that conversation instead of like we never used to be used, or it was used in a carny fashion or a cartoon or a carnival way, which is disrespectful. But now we're respected. We're the shit, and they know it.
No, I gotta ask you.
When you look at Vince's product, I'm gonna tell you the difference. Watch a production of NFL on CBS or NBC or Fox, okay, and you look at the football, then you flip the channel and you watch arena football. Nothing against arena football because I'm a big fan, okay? But it's night and day. You see my point where I'm making it? And then when you flip the channels to Vince's product, it's like any other show that's on ABC, NBC, if not better. The production is phenomenal. He hires the best. We're talking Hollywood at its finest. And your workers. And in this day of age of woman power, you know, you're using these beautiful women that are decent workers. Not all of them, but some of them are working like men, and that's good because you want a good solid match. Because I've watched some women wrestling on other channels. I'm not going to even bother saying the channels and putting them over. I don't feel like it, but it's weak. It's horrible. It's cartoonish. It's staggering. It's robotic. It's bad. They're not good workers. They need more training. But then you got some that Vince, I mean, the arm drags, the drop kicks, the high spots, the submissions. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed with Charlotte Flair's innovation, how she innovated the figure four with the bridge. I mean, incredible. What a great idea. I don't know who thought of that, but that's right up there with, I don't know, you know what a roll-up is, correct?
Of course.
Yes, sir.
You know what a roll-up is. Okay. So when I use the roll-up, everybody uses it, just a pinning combination or the heel grabs the trunks. But the one who made it famous was Bob Backlund. He rolled you up and went into a bridge. It's just so cool. And think about it. It adds to the technical aspect. So she just made the figure four. She just turned chicken shit into chicken salad.
Right. Got a point.
Damn right I got a point.
Now, what do you think of AEW? Are you going to watch it, or you still
watch
wrestling?
Yeah, I know. I really know nothing about it. What I don't like is I tried to contact them to be in their training program because that's what I'm seeking right now. Mostly the PC Center in Orlando for the WWE because that's my forte. I love training. I love teaching. I love doing seminars. I like talking about wrestling. You know, it's not just all about clothesline, punch, kick. There's a lot more to learn. I could tell you watching a guy get in a ring locking up if he's a good worker or not. And you got to be around a long time to know that. And I tried contacting them. They've never contacted me. So they know better than me. Maybe I'm not good enough for them. So it's Barry Horowitz always has to prove himself always, because no matter where I go, I'm hearing somebody say, wow, you sounded great on a podcast. I didn't know you could do promos. I didn't know you did it. You know, well, wake up and smell a coffee. What are you, living in a phone booth? I mean, come on. You know.
Tell them to do their damn research, Barry. You're a legend.
What's that?
Tell them to do their damn research, Barry. You're a legend.
Yeah. Jesus. Come on. Look at my resume. Give me a break.
Right.
You know.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, the rapper Action Bronson. Had a song out. Labeled Barry Horowitz. Now, I read that you were not necessarily a fan of that.
No.
Did you contact him and tell him, hey, you know, don't use my name?
Well, this is how this goes. Normally, I would speak about it in length. Once again, I'm not putting over him at all. I have no use for him. He's not relevant. I got more shower time than he's got lifetime, okay? If you wanted to write to this right this minute, throw my name up on the TV, throw his name, and take a poll and see who wins, okay? I don't have use for unprofessional people. His loss, not my loss. I don't need him. And by the way, rap is crap. In the great words of Kurt Hennig, rap is crap.
Well, I agree. I agree with you there. I'm not much of a rap fan either.
But anyway, no, I don't want to get into the logistics and all this crap about him and stuff. It's just an unprofessional thing. You just don't do that. You know, next time I write a song, I'll use Tom Cruise or lead singer of Aerosmith and see how far. Let me tell you something. I promise you this. If he wrote a song about John Cena or Randy Orton or any of the Undertaker, any of the top guys there, he would be owned overnight by Vince's lawyers. Owned.
Oh, yeah.
Overnight. In hours, he'd be bankrupt. And I don't care if Eminem owns him or not in Detroit. Vince could buy him with the shit in his wallet right now. So, please.
Yeah.
Don't even compare Eminem or any of them with Vince McMahon. He's a friggin' billionaire.
I mean, we've seen it kind of recently. I know you said rap is crap. Famous rapper Meek Mill actually had a song where he used the Undertaker gong in the beginning, and Vince was on his ass the next day.
See?
The song got taken down.
I didn't know that, but see what I mean? You can't be messing around with the top guys. He'll friggin' own you, I'm telling you. He's got high-powered lawyers. Now, by the way, the rap is crap. I'm joking around. I do like some that are pretty cool that I understand. Like, I really do like Chance the Rapper, and I like Cardi B. I mean, my forte, I love country music. When I'm in the gym, I like 80s rock. I love Motley Crue. I like Def Leppard.
Yeah.
I like Van Halen, Cinderella, Quiet Riot, Scorpions. You know, but I'm not into the rap that is demeaning towards the police, the president, whores, stuff that, like, hey, my neighbor could have thought of that. You're not really clever. LL Cool J, he's cool. Ice-T, he's cool. You know, I like that. And I do like Chance the Rapper, and I do like Cardi B and stuff like that. But, I don't like rappers that are thugs and that are knocking on Barry Horowitz or trying to get fame off him, because it ain't working. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So. I don't have time for that. And if you noticed, I'm not even saying their names or nothing, because I don't care. So.
Right. And for the last almost 10 minutes here, is it okay if we do a little word association with you?
Sure. I'd love it.
So we're going to each come up with a few names in order. We'll just get maybe a sentence from you or a little bit of your thoughts. First name I want to present to you, Mr. Jim Cornette.
Hmm. I'm going to give you so-so.
I thought you hung up on us for a second.
No. I went into a stupor. I'll give
here's
it a so-so.
One, so-so. Here's one, Bob Holly.
He's all right. I just saw Bob. Well, I saw him last November at a big signing. I don't know, believe it or not, Bob's a quiet guy. I've seen him in the locker room. The most I spoke to him, I think, was did a meet and greet together at a table, actually two nights in a row, and we were breakfast and dinner together. It's the most I spoke to him. He's a pretty quiet guy. And then when you're in the locker room, a lot's going on. You don't have time. Or I never traveled with him, and if I did, it was once. So, I did like working with him, though. Yeah, I forgot about him. He's my type of wrestler as far as the drop kicks, technical style, you know, good old professional wrestling. You know, the kind of, you know, the signs outside Madison Square Garden on the marquee, it says wrestling. Doesn't say anything else. It says wrestling. That's what I do.
Right. John Cena.
Wow. I don't know him at all, but what he's did is fantastic. I mean, he's did well for himself. I mean, all his things are really cool. He's very entertaining, and he's now he's an actor, and he's got his own show to fifth grader, smarter than a fifth grader. So I got to give him props. I mean, heck, trains hard, looks good, well spoken. Yeah. for not meeting him. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, definitely a professional in every sense of the word. I would
oh, yeah.
Vote for him
without a doubt. Yes.
My next name for you is Bret Hart.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Again, Bret is pretty quiet. Never traveled with him. Wrestled him a bunch of times in singles, tags, six-mans, eight-mans. Yeah, nothing really. I like his style. I loved his father. I loved his brother, Owen. I loved all his other brothers, too. I mean, I got a tremendous respect because of the way they were trained in the dungeon. They're from Canada, and I'm very pro-Canada. I love Canada. I've wrestled in almost every province, from Toronto to Medicine Hat to Vancouver. So, yeah, props to Bret Hart. He's a good champion.
Brooklyn Brawler.
No comment.
Okay.
One final one. Vince McMahon.
Well, genius. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Good businessman. Genius. I mean, look what he's did. Look what he's did with the WWF, from turning WWF when his dad was there to WWF, which is my favorite, and now it's the WWE. I mean, I love when people go, oh, ratings are going down and this and that. Hello, wake up. SmackDown premieres on Fox next Friday, folks, at 7:30. Get a clue. He ain't going nowhere but up.
No. You know, they always try to count him out, but it never seems to go that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, you never want to say never in the wrestling business, but come on now. You know he's the king. I mean,
yeah.
I know others try and stuff and so forth, and that's nice, and I'll wrestle for you and so forth, but if I'm seeking anything with employment back with the, you know, out of respect and loyalty, yeah, I need to be at that PC center. That's where I want to be. That's just second nature to me. Don't need notes. Don't need anything. Just need my brain to tell other students, you know, what the wrestling business is about and teach them, hopefully, A to Z the best I can.
Yes, sir. And we're going to have to wrap this up. And this was amazing hearing a legend like you definitely shoot the breeze with us and talk about wrestling.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
So definitely, you know, we're definitely going to have you back sometime soon. This
I'm
was
not
just
coming
fantastic.
Back. I refuse to come back. I can't come back.
Okay.
I'm just joking.
Well, thanks for
just joking. Just joking. Take it easy. Come
yeah.
on. Okay. I would like to, since we're running out of time, I just want to hit on a few things, if you don't mind. First of all, thank you. It was a pleasure to be on Unscripted, which it was unscripted. I could tell by just talking to you jabrones. But anyway, that's a joke too, so don't take it serious. No, it was really a pleasure, and I'd love to come back. And also, remember, there's a lot of great wrestlers out there, but Barry Horowitz wrestles great. That's a fact.
Yes, sir, and I can't think of anywhere else we could end that but there, so it was nice talking to you, Barry.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I do want to say one other thing, if you don't mind. I would like to just promote my Facebook. It's pretty darn good. It's been up a few months, and it just tells you where I'm going to be. And I don't know if you guys know about the StarCast, but I will be at the next one. I do a lot of meet and greets. I'll be getting back in the ring slowly but surely. I'm nursing a knee injury right now. But I do travel, and if you look at my Facebook or go to WWE.com, you'll find me there, BarryHorowitz.com. All you got to do is put Barry Horowitz in a search engine. It'll go to everything that I've did as far as my career, Wikipedia, stats, and
yep.
federations, and you know, just to, know about me.
Absolutely. And more young guns coming up definitely should do their research about you.
What's that?
I said a lot Hello? Of the younger guys could definitely benefit by doing some research from you. You know,
Yeah, there is some guys that, there's some guys that are really good, and then there's some guys they just don't have a clue, or they weren't broken in right, or they really think they're king shit on Turd Island, and they're not.
All right, Barry, we're about out of time. Thank you for showing up. It was very
thanks,
nice
guys.
Talking to you, sir.
I appreciate it. And don't forget, keep in touch with yourself.
Of course.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.